best-selling author Anne Hood has crafted a very funny, heartfelt story of a girl growing up in the heart of Beatlemania. The name of the book, She Loves You. Yeah, yeah, yeah. One girl, one band, and the concert that changed the world. Time for summer reading, and the release of She Loves You also coincides with the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' beloved album, The Yellow Submarine, making it a pick for young readers whose love of pop music evokes the nostalgia for the original boy band, the Fab Four. The year is 1966. The Vietnam War rages overseas. The Beatles have catapulted into stardom, and 12-year-old Rhode Island native Trudy Mixer is not thrilled with life until she figures out that maybe, maybe she can go meet the Beatles. The name of the novel is She Loves You, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Anne Hood to the roundtable this morning. Anne, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, how did this particular book come to be?
It's a lifetime in the making because my main character, Trudy Mixer, has a lot in common with me when I was a Beatles fan as a young girl. And I had the great opportunity last year to be asked by an editor at Penguin Workshop named Francesco Sedita if I had an idea for a young adult book. And I actually didn't when he asked. So I took a little time to think about what was the one thing I wanted as a young adult that I couldn't have? And the answer came immediately, Paul McCartney. And then an idea was born. What about a kid who wants to meet Paul McCartney and has the courage and bravery and confidence to go after that?
So you were the kid who Paul McCartney was your crush. The Beatles was the first group you fell in love with. You collected the cards. You read the magazines. You were all in.
I was. I could tell you at that time, any Beatles fact, you know, probably half of them weren't true because they were from fan magazines. But I really used to collect them all. And I had Beatles dolls that I would line up on my bureau and then I'd get a chair. And I'd sit in front of it and play a Beatles album and pretend I was at a concert. and my cousins and I would play Beatles wives. And we always fought over who would be married to Paul and who'd be married to John. So it was our imaginative time, our play time, our record time.
Yep.
All Beatles all the time.
So Trudy Mixer, she is the protagonist in this book and president of the Beatles fan club at the school. And this is popular for a while, and then she starts to struggle a bit.
Yes, you know, as kids got into middle school, some of them began being interested in other things like boys or makeup or cheerleading or even worse, the Rolling Stones. And Trudy is holding fast to her love of the Fab Four. But she used to have the most popular fan club in the school, and suddenly she finds herself with only three other members, and they are the kids that she considers kind of the losers of the school. So one of the things she wants to do is find new friends or get back her old ones, get rid of these people, meet Paul McCartney, and win back her popularity.
And this in her mind seems relatively simple, and along the way we realize just how challenging it is to meet the Beatles.
Very challenging. And, you know, I always think a good book, the ones that you kind of keep turning the pages to see what's going to happen, what they do is we keep throwing obstacles in our heroine's path, and that's what happens to Trudy. It seems like she's going to get there when her father surprises her with tickets, but then everything starts going south.
Mm. And the idea of meeting the Beatles, was that something that was that you wanted to, you wanted that as well as a kid?
I especially wanted to meet Paul. I have to confess, but right. I would have taken any Beatle. But I didn't, unlike Trudy, I never really had a plan. Like, when they had their concert, their last concert tour, which is the one she's trying to get to, in 1966, I had never been to a concert. My mother would have never let me go to a concert. So I never even thought about that possibility. I just had these kind of vague, dreamy ideas of somehow running into Paul McCartney. He would absolutely fall immediately in love with me, and the rest would be rock and roll history.
So you talk about how emotional it was for you to write the book, Talk a little bit about that, because this has to do with raising your children and raising them on the Beatles.
Yes. My older kids, Sam and Grace, my first two kids, grew up with me playing them Beatles songs and telling them stories about, you know, funny stories about me as a kid with Beatlemania. And we used to watch A Hard Day's Night. We had the video of it. And my son Sam loved the Beatles, but Grace, my daughter, loved them as much or more than I had. And so the two of us shared this real bond over all things Beatles. She was only 5 years old, but her favorite Beatle was John. And her favorite song was You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, which John wrote and sings. And I thought she had very mature Beatles taste. But tragically, in 2002, when she was five, Grace died suddenly from a virulent form of strep throat. And in the aftermath of losing Grace, the one thing I really could not bear was to hear the Beatles, who I had loved since I was seven. It was just too painful. The memories of them and of those songs had become wrapped up with my kids and with Grace in particular. And so I packed all their albums and CDs away. I stopped listening to like oldie stations because inevitably the Beatles appear. I would have to leave the supermarket if Beatles Muzak, you know, came on. Slowly, I was able to listen without being completely slayed. But this took many years. And then 3 years ago, I moved and I decided to buy a turntable because not just the Beatles, but all of my old vinyl albums and even my 45s were tucked up in the attic. So I bought a turntable and I was able to rediscover the Beatles. I was able to play the music and share it with my youngest daughter, who's now 14, and to listen to it without crying. And in fact, bittersweet, I can smile remembering Grace from the distance of all these years, 14 years now.
And while a horrific story, it also shows the power of music, isn't it? Of how that, the connection that we have with it and how it brings so many memories to us, but also how healing it can be as well.
You know, that's absolutely right. You know, don't you still remember, like, if the day you moved into college and saw that your roommate who you were afraid to meet or nervous to meet had the same records you did?
Right.
Or, you know, when you fall in love, that song always is your song. And then if you break up, that song kills you. Music just takes us through our emotional journey, our memories, our life story. I'm just really glad that I got the Beatles back. I was afraid they were lost forever.
One of the things that also I find interesting, and through the various anniversaries that have come up with the Beatles, one of the things that we examine over and over and over again is just how timeless they are. I mean, the fact you're writing this book for young adults, and kids know the Beatles. Kids, actually, most kids anyway, know the Beatles and have an interest in it.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
And I think about, you know, watching them on that Ed Sullivan show for the first time, February 9th, 1964, and Paul McCartney was 21 years old. And at such a young age, and only for 6 years did they record together. And look at 50 years later, we're still talking about them, listening to their music. They're still making people smile and dance. It's great. It's unbelievable.
When you think about that, there is, of course, the music, but the book also shows us this passion of this young woman and what she is able to do through that passion.
I really want the young people who read the book to say, wait a minute, I have a dream. I can do that. I can try it. I can take a risk. I can take a chance. And I want, you know, I think it's a book that so far, at least I've noticed, all Beatle lovers of all ages are really enjoying it. So the moms and grandmoms who are sharing this book with their grandchildren or granddaughters, I hope it reminds them of when they felt that optimistic, like they could accomplish anything. Because as we get older, sometimes we forget that.
And when you think of the story being told here and the story being told about Trudy, it also not only brings the Beatles to light, but also that time of the 60s, which must be a fascinating time to write about for young people as well.
Yes, that was part of the real fascination that I had when writing the book, because I went back and looked at, you know, what headlines were in the news on the days I'm writing about. And I realized, wow, the Beatles' first night on Ed Sullivan was less than 3 months after President Kennedy had been assassinated. It's no wonder everyone seized on these, you know, joyful four guys singing love songs and shaking their mop tops. We needed something hopeful and new, I think. The country did, probably the whole world did. And so I was really interested in digging into that time. You know, when I was growing up in that time, I didn't realize how special it was and how history-making it was. But going back and doing research, I realized the women's movement was just starting. Vietnam War, of course, was going on. And here the Beatles fell into our TV screens and onto our radios and made us smile and sing, which is great.
So what do we have now? Now
no
what?
No trick questions. No trick questions. Get those Beatles albums out, folks.
Think, well, yeah, that's right. Well,
don't make me depressed.
It is another way of asking the question, which so many people have talked about, you know, will there ever be anything like the Beatles again? And it doesn't seem like it. It's like catching a star in a bottle. It just doesn't seem like you're ever going to have that again.
I think it was the perfect alignment of stars, you know, that brought those four guys together in Liverpool at just that time and sent them across the Atlantic to us. I mean, I don't think you can get that magical mix very easily, or it's a rare thing.
Well, the name of the novel is She Loves You. Yeah, yeah, yeah. One girl, one band, and the concert that changed the world. It's a book for young adults, but it's a book for anybody, especially Beatles fans. Anne Hood is the author. Anne, it's always a delight to speak with you. Always wonderful to hear your voice, and I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Great to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, She Loves You, One Girl, One Band, and the Concert That Changed the World by Anne Hood. The book is published by Penguin Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.